When you think of that word, you probably can think of a thousand sermons that have been brought about it. But in this day, the Holy Spirit is working to create an awareness of what that kingdom really means to us and in us. Too often with the church, the kingdom of God is something that's out there somewhere. For another time, it's going to mean all these great changes in earth, which it will. But the reality is that we carry His kingdom, His presence in us every day. And the real work that needs to be done is an awakening within believers to know that the kingdom of God is in their midst, and to learn to become aware of that kingdom as we live our daily life. The kingdom of God is not of this realm, and that's the first problem we have. We're very in tune to the world around us, and when things would happen, God working miracles, and we'll go back and see how that unfolded with Jesus, we can say, well, there's the kingdom of God, someone being healed, God displaying His power. That's an expression and a fruit of His kingdom. But the reality of that kingdom must be in operation within our lives. This is, you know, I'm just going to do more than the normal amount of scripture, so don't turn there. You can just read them afterwards. John 18, verses 35 through 37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." That's very important to understand. This is before Jesus went to the cross. And the natural human thinking about it would be, we got to fight. Got to do a war here. These people are going to crucify the most important person that's ever come to this planet. Unjustifiably so. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's without sin. But Jesus looked and said, "My kingdom's not about this world. It's another realm." The kingdom of God is God's realm. It's His home. It's the realm of His Spirit. So we have a hard time adjusting to that. We can accept the signs, but the reality of what it is doesn't fit into our way of thinking. It doesn't fit into how we view the world around us. So when we think in terms of the kingdom, think that it's not of this realm, and yet it is in me. Kingdom of God is, you know, we use that term. It refers to everything of God, His realm. It is the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Just like we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, separate but one reality. I know you probably have times when your prayers, you're praying to Jesus, you're aware of the wonderful sacrifice He made, or just needing some help, and you're crying out to Jesus. There's other times I've found lately where it's the Abba Father that comes out of me. Daddy, Father, I need You. Now, do we have to say, okay, I'm praying to the Father, I got to pray to the Son and to the Holy Ghost? Praying to one is praying to all. They're all one. Everything in God's realm is one. So I'm saying that to say that when we talk about the kingdom of God, people have spent endless time trying to say how this is different from what the kingdom of heaven, from this or that. The reality is, it's all one. It's all one package that we have within us. Question number one. When? Kingdom of God, when did it happen? Or what a lot of people, unfortunately, are asking, when is it going to happen? I think because it's not of the realm of our own human thinking and emotions, we get frustrated. We don't see it. We're not aware of it in our midst, within our lives. So then it becomes a matter of, when will it happen? This can't be it. So it must be out there somewhere. And when we're aware of the kingdom within us, we realize it's not for a day in the future. It's already happened because of Jesus Christ. When did it happen? Let me read a few verses. It happened when Jesus came on the scene. What did Jesus Christ do? He shared the realm of who God was to people's lives. That was the kingdom of God happening on earth. Luke 8:1 says, "And it came about soon afterwards that He began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Luke 9, 11 and 12, but the multitudes were aware of this and followed him, and welcoming him, he began to speak to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Luke 11, 20, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, Jesus said, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It happened. Jesus and who he was and what he did, the healing and the disciples also, they went out proclaiming the kingdom of God. People were being healed of their diseases, their illnesses. The blind were seen. All these miracles, and people get caught up in that. Oh my gosh, it looks like a great show is going on here. Look at the power. It was just the kingdom of God was being expressed through Jesus. It was light. It was love. It was, like it said in this one verse, he welcomed them. It's like Father's loving arms drawing people in, meeting their needs. The day of Pentecost, Jesus, the Spirit of Christ now, he went back to the Father, was alive within his people. That's the great breakthrough of Pentecost. His Spirit is within. His kingdom is within. And what's the book of Acts like? Same thing. They were speaking the word of God. They were loving people. God was showing forth his power through his servants. The kingdom of God was happening. It's been happening for over 2,000 years. So the problem is not when is the kingdom going to happen or why isn't it happening. The problem is, as his people, why aren't we aware of what dwells within us? There needs to be an awakening. You're not going to get it from the newspapers. You're not going to get it from a lot of the religion out there, the churchianity that's in the world today. They're all talking, trying to divide up doctrines and figure things out and putting things off in the future. Let's see. Well, the tribulation will happen this time and then the great breakthrough. No, wait a minute. The breakthrough is going to come first. Jesus will come. We don't have to go through the tribulation. No, that's not right. Tribulation will happen, but we'll get taken out of it. Everybody, all these doctrines. Who cares? It'll happen the way it happens. I'm not going to control that. You can't control that. Why should we be preoccupied about the future in that way? We do that because we're not comfortable with God in the present. When we become comfortable and centered in the kingdom of God that is alive within us today, future doesn't matter. We know it's going to unfold according to God's will. Pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, all those things, what does it matter? We have a living Christ within us today. Today is the day we hear his voice. Today is the day that we are awakened to his kingdom and allow that kingdom to flow through us as it did through the disciples in the early days. It's unlimited, the power that can be expressed, but the key is for his people to be aware it has already been given. What is this kingdom? It's easier to describe what the kingdom does, isn't it? The realm of God's spirit and power. So yeah, people get healed, people get delivered. History is changed. Don't we need a change in history right now? I know we're all believing for a different world than what we see happening out there. That's the operation of God's kingdom. Nothing can stop it when it's moving. What is it though? What is that reality in our lives? In Luke 17, verses 20 through 21, it says, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Okay. The religious mind of the Pharisees wanted to figure it out. When will it be here? How will it appear? Jesus said, it's not about when, it's not about the future, it is in your midst today. We'll get a little more, go into the religious mindset a little bit more later, but the religious mind just can't comprehend that. Not connected to the present. Religious state of being is connected with the past, what God did, what God's going to do. But the Holy Spirit is all about now, what God is doing. And it's connected to the past too, the past faith and what we learn from history. It's connected with the hope and faith for the future. God's will be done, but you live in the present. Okay, so the kingdom of God is within us. In Romans 14, 16 through 18, it says, Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is righteousness. It is not self-righteousness. It is the righteousness that we have because of Jesus Christ. He has given us that gift of righteousness. He paid the price on the cross. It is peace. It's not all the things we do to try to calm down in this anxious age. It is the peace that belongs to God. It is joy. I think the goal of every human being is to be happy. Goal we never quite reach. Joy is a reality of God's heart. It's His state of being. His kingdom is our present experience with all three of those. What about changing the world? The kingdom of God is not some tool we use to change the world. It is God, His essence. So the first thing is we're awakened to His righteousness in us. Wow, Jesus died for me and it's settled. My sins are not an issue to God. The price has been paid. He's given me His righteousness instead. Yeah, that's a revelation of His kingdom, of peace that surpasses all understanding. How can I have peace in a world like this? You have peace because of who indwells you, not by what you read in the newspapers. Joy, same thing. There's a joy that belongs to knowing that God indwells you. But I'm going to be joyful when my circumstances change. You may have a long wait. They'll change. There'll be other problems to take their place. Joy is an attribute of the kingdom of the Father. You have joy because He loves you, no matter what your circumstances are like. The last one I want to read on this, what it is. 1 Corinthians 4, 20 and 21. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. It's power. The power and authority of our Father, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. That kingdom expresses power to us and through us. That's why Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh, Paul had this great revelation of the grace of God. He said, I didn't come out here to preach and just tickle your ears and stimulate your minds with some new thoughts. I am here in the demonstration and power of His Spirit. Power. So, in looking at this kingdom, being aware of it, how does it change us? How do we get into it? That's always a question. How do we make this thing work? Well, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think the first thing we need to understand is we don't make it work. It works just fine on its own. We get in the way, but still, His kingdom is power. It's more powerful than the frailties of our humanity. Jesus said, repent, for it's here. When we recognize the kingdom is here in us, we repent. And this is not a repentance of, oh, what a worthless person I am. I do all these things wrong, and God has His kingdom in me, and woe is me. It's, my gosh, Father, what a deposit You've put in my life. Repenting is changing, turning from our negativity, turning from our shame and our guilt and just that atmosphere of despair that can be around us like a cloud, and turning to the light, turning to the reality that God loves us so much. Repentance is change, a change of direction. What the kingdom of God does for us as we recognize it in our lives is we start thinking differently. Our focus changes. Instead of the focus on what's wrong with me, It's on what's right with God and Jesus in me. Big change. He had a conversation with Nicodemus in John 3. I remember Nicodemus was questioning him about what it all meant when Jesus said, you got to be born again. He said, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is perplexed and pondering this. What do you mean, born again? This doesn't make sense. That's right. That's an important thing to know about the kingdom of God. It doesn't make sense to our religious, questioning, doubtful minds. Because we feel we don't deserve it. So we've got to get, we want some formula how to make it happen. It already happened. It happened when Jesus gave up his life for you. So you can't figure out your way into it. You can't reason your way into it. It's something that was given to you when you recognize that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. His kingdom is there. You were born again. What were you born into? Well, I was saved from hell. No, you were born, when you were born again, that awakening, that quickening. The Lord's in here. He lives in my heart. His kingdom came with him. You were born into the kingdom of God. That's why in Colossians it talks about being translated out of the realm of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have been, it says. It's not you will be someday. Paul was saying, this is what's happened to you. You used to be of the darkness, but someone paid a price for you, and now you've been translated into his kingdom, into his light. Again, it's a matter of awareness. Another place Jesus said he brought a child to himself and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. More hard realities here. Become like a child. Our minds are so complicated, so sophisticated, to the point where we really don't even know ourselves, because the child in us is the truest state of being that we can be. I mean, that's really who we are. Jesus looked at people that were trying to figure him out, and he said, you know what? You want to know how this works? You want to know how my kingdom works? Be like this child. Look at the child. Where are all the doubts? Where are all the questions? They're not there. Instead, there's that faith, that simplicity of trust. That's how it becomes real. And he uses the word humbles himself. For me, the kingdom I used to think of as a big door that you somehow find a way to unlock it and you walk through. You know what it is? It's a part in you that's a very small door. You've got to get down on your hands and knees and crawl through it. We're not real comfortable with that. We're not comfortable with humility. It's not a question of how can I learn to be more humble. You're walking in the light of the kingdom. You will be humble. Humility is the only way you crawl through that space. And of course, it opens up into beautiful rooms. Wonderful experiences in him. But the humility is necessary. That's how the kingdom becomes real to us and how we move in that kingdom spirit. He also says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Okay, we have it in us, and the Father, it's the pleasure of his heart to make it real to us. Give it to us, to me, means more than just to say it's there. When you give someone a present, what does that person do with it? Or you get a present. You unwrap it. You enjoy it. This is how the Father gives it. He goes, I've given you my kingdom in my Son. It's within you. But now I'm going to help you unwrap that present. You can see how valuable it is, how wonderful it is. A few more things here. Number one, it doesn't work well with a religious mindset. And you know, I think that whether we're young in the Lord or whether we've been walking with the Lord for umpteen years, we're always challenged by that religious side. I mean, it's a testing ground for us. And Jesus made great headway with everyone he spoke to, from prostitutes all the way on up through the cultural ladder. I don't know where the bottom was, but anyone, it didn't matter what their human state was. he could reach their heart. And the one group of people that he had to walk away from were the ones that were the most religious. We want to embrace the kingdom. We need to learn to let go of that religious side that constantly wants to produce self-righteousness, wants to figure it out. There's all that pride connected. It just doesn't work. He looked at the Pharisees and said, he said, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." It's Matthew 23, verses 13 and 14. "Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven for men, you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." That religious spirit, not open to the kingdom, experience of the kingdom, and it's set up in such a way to control other people so they can't get in. How does it happen today? A lot of churches. People are not getting the good news. They're getting bad news. You better do this or God's not going to take you into heaven or he's not going to receive you. These shoulds, these rules, the law. What are they doing? That's a religious spirit that the leader is saying, "I'm not going in, but neither are any of you. Let me lay this burden of law upon you. That'll keep you busy for a while." Well, there's other verses about that. He says in Matthew 5:20, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom." What he was saying is, unless you've got something more than the scribes and Pharisees' self-righteousness, this kingdom is not going to be real to you. Entering in, that's experiencing. So what do? Well, we recognize that we have a righteousness that's we did nothing to do to earn it. We have a righteousness that is the Son. That's really the point he's making. The only way to experience his kingdom is to accept the gift of righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. Matthew 13. You know what? I'm going to save this for another time. I think this is going to end up being a two sermon job here, but just the last couple of verses I want to look at is how the kingdom of God grows, because as it becomes real, there's that struggle with our own flesh of how do I make it more real? We get all anxious, and again, that's part of that self-righteous package ends up building a wall. Let's recognize how the kingdom of God, what you got to do to make it grow. Matthew 4, verses 26 through 28. He was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How he himself does not know." That's how it works. You open your heart, it's planted in you. This guy went to sleep. He didn't stay up all night praying about his plant. "Oh God, make that plant grow, it's got to grow." He went to sleep. He got up in the morning, looked out his window, and something was happening. The kingdom of God grows in spite of us. It grows because God loves us, because God has grace for us. And when you understand that, then there can be that hungry heart, anticipation, the repentance of allowing the Holy Spirit to change our thinking, the changes. But if you think you can do it, you're not going to see much, because that self-righteousness will blind you. And you'll look at that tree, and that tree may be growing, but you won't see growth. All you'll see is your own efforts and the futility of your efforts. Go to sleep. Trust God. You'll look out, and you'll see something happening. Like it says, he himself did not know how it grew, and you won't either. Stop trying to figure it out. Just be aware of it growing. The fruit. The kingdom of God is not a product of our effort. One last verse. He said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil," what happens to it? Grows into something massive. The kingdom of God may seem insignificant at the beginning, but it will grow to an unprecedented, to a great stature. It's insignificant by our human standards. Little mustard seed. Let God have his way. It'll be the biggest tree around. I got to do one more. I got to stop looking at this. There's too much good stuff here. He said again, Luke 13, verses 20 through 21, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened." Kingdom of God works on you. It works everywhere within you. It overrules everything about you. It's like a leaven. It goes inside and just open your eyes to it. Don't be anxious. It grows because of the Spirit. It'll go into every area of your life. Have patience. Just be there. Be present with it. Be aware. Be humble, submissive to God's Spirit. You think, well, I can't get into all areas. There are parts of me that just aren't going to change. Anybody feel like that? Some things can change, but there's other areas, and these are the areas, they're my closets, my basements. I don't show them to other people. Too embarrassing. You don't have to show them to other people. I guarantee you, not one of us in this room would want all our thoughts broadcast for everybody to hear, right? What a nightmare that would be. Kingdom of God will find that area. You'll find the things you thought could never change, well, that you could never change. And probably never will be able to change. God's kingdom has power. That kingdom will touch those areas and bring healing. How do we do it? Well, it's leaven. You just put it in the meal. God's already done that. In Jesus Christ, he's put it in the meal of your human body, your human experience. What does it do? It just grows, and it grows, and it grows. But again, it's so important to be aware of what it is. It is a growing, powerful reality of the Spirit within us. Because if you don't see that, you look in the mirror and you look at life, it's still growing, but you're being robbed of the joy of seeing it. What you're looking at is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with the world? All the condemnation that's ministered by the law is such a cloud. It's like in the Word it says, when they read the book of Moses, there was like a veil over them. They couldn't see and understand what they were reading. As we become more aware of his kingdom within, the veil is rent. We're still human. You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to have to deal with your personality and your frailties and your weaknesses. But the difference is you're aware of who he is in you. And that awareness brings peace and joy, awareness of righteousness. And you're saying, I'm still a mess here, but wow. This leaven, this thing that's put into me, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. Amen. Let's stand.
David, is knowledge of the church related to the kingdom? Is the kingdom in the church, or does the Lord use the church to propagate the kingdom? How does that work?
Well, you know, sit down one more second. Let me answer this question. I think it's a real important one. And I can give you what I feel in the Spirit about it. We are born into his kingdom, not into the church. When we are walking and aware of the kingdom, then as a church, we reflect that glory, that light, and that power. The problem, I think, today is the church is concerned about keeping the structure and keeping the church going, and then the kingdom's out here. Okay, as a church, we got to get in the kingdom. That's backwards. And it's one of those things where you can't get there from here. The more people talk about it, the more they pray for it, it's like out there somewhere. When we acknowledge and become aware of our birthing, it's already happened, and become aware of that reality within, then we will function as a church the way God intended. So.
You know, the last verse in Acts says, Paul, he says he preached the kingdom of God, and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all liberty and all without hindrance. But he preached the last thing Paul, he preached the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And everything concerning Jesus Christ.
One and the same, isn't it? I mean, that was the message. You would be surprised if you found out how many scriptures we have that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I mean, his life was a perfect reflection what God's kingdom is, who God is. So, anyway, our focus is being aware of what's been done for us, kingdom within, and then the churches are trying so hard to organize and make things work. It's going to be a whole lot easier when the power of the Holy Spirit's flowing. We won't have to try to be a good church. We will be the church, the expression of that kingdom that God intends. Okay, no more questions. We'll stand one more time. We have potluck today. Soon to follow, but Father, we for your blessing on our minds. We know they're being transformed. And we know that they are the one roadblock, the realities of your Spirit. It's not the devil out there. It's not all our problems or the fact that we're human. The problem is the way we think, the limited awareness we have. Well, Father, expand our awareness today. Show us what you've done for us. Reveal to us your kingdom within our hearts, within our lives. May this be a growing awareness and reality that not only is with a few, but becomes the state of the church in the world today. And once your kingdom is real,